Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophies, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish.
Welcome to Pagan Warrior Radio, supporting the warriors who serve, honoring the warrior within. Join David and Jeanette Ewing and Pam Kelly on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Central for talk, news, ideas, music, and ceremonial encounters. Create community with military pagans across the USA and around the world. Tune in, call in, join live chat on the Pagans Tonight Network. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Download free podcasts to listen and share. Pagan Warrior Radio is sponsored by Circle Sanctuary, providing education, rituals, publications, festivals, and more for pagans worldwide. Find us on the web at www.circlesanctuary.org.
Hello, and welcome to Pagan Warrior Radio, and happy spring, everybody. It's the spring equinox here in the Northern Hemisphere, and tonight we'll be doing a ritual to celebrate the spring. But I think first we have some news and information about things that are going on with Circle and other things happening, so we'll discuss that first here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So David Ewing here, and Jeanette Ewing and Pam Kelly is helping us out and is co-hosting as well.
Yep, I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk recently, but I sit there and I watch the circle spin around, and then you guys tell me, we can hear you, and I'm like, ah, but the thing doesn't say I'm on, so I apologize if you heard anything that you weren't supposed to.
Well, no, it was weird. Last night when we did Selena's Circle Craft Study Show, we had a similar thing where the Blog Talk, the website was acting strange, and the interface. So I think they're having some hiccups and some stuff going on there technically. I think I'm finally around to blaming Mercury being in retrograde for this stuff.
Oh my goodness! I was gonna say, but you guys don't like to blame Mercury in retrograde. Well, luckily it's about ready to come out of retrograde, so.
Yeah.
So we have a little bit of news to report, and then we'll go on to start the ritual. One of the things that has been in the news with a number of different news sources and stuff, the Supreme Court is getting ready to hear
arguments on two cases having to do with equality for for gays.
Yeah, for gay and lesbians to be able to marry. And so this is not necessarily directly a Circle Sanctuary type of thing, but it is something that Selena Fox, who is, of course, the founder, has been invited to. There's a big interfaith religious prayer service
right.
That is going to be going on early in the morning.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah.
At like 7:15 or 7:30 in the morning.
In downtown D.C. It's actually will be right in front of the...
right near the Capitol.
Yeah, right near the Capitol. So that is going on. And so, in fact, next Tuesday night, Selena will be reporting on that and talking about that on her show. Another thing that...
So Tuesday night on Circlecraft Studies, Selena will be broadcasting from the home of one of the organizers for this event Tuesday night here in the D.C. area. So she'll be talking about her impressions and experiences and stuff with the day.
Right, I guess the pagan perspectives with this particular issue. Many people know that within the pagan community, there's a mm-hmm. decent-sized percentage of people who are LGBT, and this is, I guess, a fairly big issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think within the pagan community, just because of the number of people that we have that are gay, lesbian, we will see what happens with that and how all of that unfolds in the following, weeks to come.
Right, because on one day, they're going to hear arguments regarding the constitutionality of California's Proposition 8, and which has to do with the same-sex marriage in California. And then the next day, they're going to hear arguments about the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA. So it's a pretty big deal that they're hearing these two arguments and these two cases fairly well back, pretty much back-to-back next week. And they will also be posting transcripts of the oral arguments the following day and the audio of the arguments within like a day or two afterwards. I heard on the radio today too, which is a fairly quick turnaround and fairly significant for the Supreme Court to do that fast.
Yeah. So,
well, and it does impact the pagan warriors, because with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell being repealed, and now working towards having the spouses of same-sex active duty members and such getting the benefits, this is something that's going to reach well into the military pagans as well, hopefully.
Yeah.
That is true. Interestingly, not necessarily related to this, there's been this story that I read just a couple of weeks ago about a woman who is the partner of a woman who was just recently able to come out of the closet, not pagan, but gay. And so it's at Camp Lejeune, I believe, and this woman is the wife of a military...
active duty...
officer.
Yeah.
And she wanted to be part of the officers' club, but because they're not married in the eyes of the law for the state of North Carolina,
right.
The lady can't get a dependent ID card, and many people who listen to this know all about that if they're married or if they've ever been, if they're the child of somebody who was in the military. So she does not have any benefit rights. And as such, there was this thing that happened with regard to her not being allowed to be a part of this officers' wives' club. It got in the news, and there was a lot of hoopla about it. And long story short, the women who were in charge of the officers' wives' club rapidly changed their position, which is a good thing. But
when the spouse in question was nominated for Spouse of the Year.
Right.
Right.
So,
I thought that was pretty cool.
I thought it was cool, too. So it is something that, and we know many people who are former active duty, and we know some of those people are gay.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I'm sure they know people that are still in that are gay. So it's a big thing, and it will end up having a ripple effect within the pagan community simply by virtue of the fact that it will end up impacting the military down the line.
Yep.
So that's kind of the big thing that's going on, that's going to be going on next week. And since we are at 10 after, we will get going with our ritual. And if we have time, I want to make sure we have time. At the end of the show, we will also just remind people about next week and what we have going on and that sort of thing. All righty?
Sounds good to me.
Cool.
Okay. So everybody sit back and relax. And tonight's ritual will be to honor the spring equinox for those of us in the northern hemisphere. And I'd like to give a shout out to anybody who might be listening who is anywhere south of the equator that on this same day, obviously, they are celebrating the autumn equinox, the fall equinox.
Get ready to go into winter.
Get ready to go into winter. And many of our listeners live many places all over the world where winter might be still trying to hold Mother Earth in its wintry grasp, but hopefully we'll do something to try to get some spring energies going. So take a deep breath and let the stresses and worries of the day just wash away. Let it trickle down out of your fingers and toes. And imagine yourself being encircled by a bright light. And this light can be white or yellow or blue. Anything that you represent being healing and purifying. And as you visualize that circle, that bright light, feel it warming you with those warm energies of the sun. And visualize it expanding outward beyond your sacred space and outside of your home or wherever you might be living at the time. And feel it connect with these circles of light and energy of those of us leading the ritual and co-hosting the ritual. And all of our pagan brothers and sisters who are listening now in this time and space and beyond and across time and space, wherever they may be. And know that these energies, as we connect them to each other, know that we are part of a larger pagan community. Fellow military, first responders, and other friends and family of those serving here and abroad. And we're going to start by inviting the sacred directions of the east, south, west, north, and center to be with us tonight. Spirits of the east, we call to you We invite the element of air to be with us, to guide us, and provide us with balance in our thoughts and communications. May the winds of spring send us messages of new growth this season. Blessed be.
Blessed be. Spirits of the South, we call to you. We invite the element of fire to be with us, to guide us and infuse us with the passion of the spring season. Blessed be.
Blessed be. Spirits of the West, we call to you. We invite the element of water to be with us, to guide us, and to aid us in balancing our emotions and intuition. May the gentle rains of spring wash away our hurts and cleanse our hearts. Blessed be.
Blessed be. And spirits of the north, we call to you. We invite you, the element of earth, to be with us, to guide us, and to provide us with the rich, fertile soil that we need to grow our plans and our endeavors in this coming spring season. Blessed be.
Blessed be. And spirit of center, that which connects all of us. Keep us centered and grounded, and keep safe that spark which connects us to the divine and to each other. Keep our mind, body, and soul in balance and harmony. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
And now we will welcome our spring deities. We welcome the maiden goddess, known by many names and from many different cultures, Ostara, Oster, Persephone, Gaia, and many others. We honor you and welcome your spring equinox energies of growth, rebirth, and balance. Aid us in getting rid of those unwanted thoughts and energies of the dark time of the year, and provide us with possibilities for new growth and opportunities this spring season. Blessed be.
Blessed be. We call to the young god of the sun, and the young god of the forest, he who is known by many names, the horned god, Hern, Cronos, and many others. We honor you, and we welcome your spring equinox energies of growth and passion. We ask that you lend your vitality and aid in our opportunities for growth and rebirth in this spring season. Blessed be.
Blessed be. And on this night, we welcome the opportunity to bring some of those spring energies into our lives to help us with new growth, new opportunities. And as many people know, this is the night, this is the time when we have more daylight than dark. And as such, this becomes a wonderful opportunity to get rid of those aspects of our lives which no longer suit us, get rid of unwanted energies that may have been associated with the cold, with those dark times of the year, those thoughts of doubt, of uncertainty, and just the depression and sluggishness that come from being in the dark time of the year. So during this time, we ask that you should get comfortable as I take you on a short journey to get rid of those unwanted energies and to bring in the new spring energies of warmth and growth and light in this season. So take this time to start by taking some deep breaths. And slowly breathe in and out. And as you take each new deep breath in, feel yourself being cleansed. And as you exhale, imagine yourself becoming more relaxed. From your head down to your toes. And relax your upper body, and your arms, and your fingertips. And take another deep breath, and as you exhale, relax your chest and your abdomen. And with each successive breath, you become more and more relaxed. You close your eyes. We're going to count down from 12 to 1. 12. 11. 10. 9. 8. 7. 6. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And in your mind's eye, you see yourself in a dark cave. Very dimly lit. And you can feel the chill and the cold around you. It is not bitterly cold, but it is still chilly. And you know that you are in winter's last gasp. The last bit of the dark time of the year. And you look in the far corner of the cave where the source of light is coming from. And you see flames, maybe from a large cauldron or a large fire pit. Look deep into those flames. And think of those things that you want to get rid of. Things left undone. Things left unfulfilled. Negative, harmful energies, thoughts and attitudes which no longer suit you. And you shout out those words and they become real, they become tangible. Shout out those words and intentions that you do not want in your life anymore and see them go into the flames to be consumed. Doubt, fear, depression, sadness, loneliness, hopelessness. These are but a few things. But take some time. Let those unwanted energies burn into the flames to be consumed. And when you are ready, you turn around. And you see an archway that leads outside into the bright sunlight. You walk closer and closer to that doorway, and you feel the warmth of the sun upon your skin. Your skin tingles with that warmth, with that excitement. You walk outside. And you're out in spring. Whenever images of spring come to you, let them come. Meadows full of flowers, daffodils, crocus, tulips. young trees. Young trees that have just begun to flower. You can smell the perfume in the air. And recall more images of spring. Young animals, spring birds that are returning to your part of the world from their winter travels, robins, blue jays, cardinals, and many other birds from your part of the world. And you continue to feel that spring warmth on you. You feel energized. You feel the possibilities of new life stirring all around you and stirring within you. As you continue to take these images in, recall what they mean to you. And remember that they are powerful symbols. Symbols that help you with growth and rebirth. And new things coming on the horizon. And as you continue to take in this nature around you, you see something shining on a short rise, a short hill ahead of you. You go to the top of that hill. And you see a basket. This basket is one of the symbols of spring and of the goddess Ostara. And you see that this basket is filled with eggs of many colors. As you look down at this egg, you know that they represent endless possibilities, goals to achieve, projects to start, endless opportunities await you. You close your eyes. And you reach down and you pick an egg. You hold that egg close to you. Feeling its energies. And seeing it as a symbol of rebirth. Rebirth of the self and the soul. And you open your eyes. And you look down at that egg. What color is it? What color does that mean to you? Spend a moment with your egg. and contemplate what this color means for you for new opportunities during the spring season. And when you are ready, thank the goddess for the messages that she sends to you in the symbol of this egg. And know that as you carry that egg with you, that egg becomes a symbol for spring, and a symbol for all that life has to offer you. When you're ready, walk back through the forest at Glen. Back to the entrance of the cave. And once you are back in the cave, know that you can return to this waking time and space at any time. And as I count up, you'll return to a more wakeful and rested state. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, nine, 10, 11, 12. Arise and awake and feel those spring energies. And as we return to our more wakeful state, there's a little chant to help us remember this time of the year. And to help keep these energies flowing whenever we need them. Darkness gone on this night. Spring awakens opportunities alight.
Darkness gone on this night. Spring awakens opportunities alight. Darkness gone on this night. Spring awakens opportunities alight. Darkness gone on this night. Spring awakens opportunities alight.
Blessed be.
Blessed be. Happy spring.
Happy spring. And we will say a fond farewell to our spring god and goddess. And then we will say goodnight to our sacred directions.
We start by saying farewell and thank you to the young sun god who was born not long ago in the cycle and is growing in his strength. As we see in the rising and setting of the sun getting longer every day, young sun god of the sun and of the forest, we thank you for being with us tonight. We thank you for your vitality to help us in our endeavors in the spring to come. Blessed be.
Blessed be. And young maiden goddess, the goddess of Stara, with her consort, the young rabbit, who heralds the awakening of spring. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for the eggs of inspiration you've given us. We thank you for your strength, for guiding us, for being with us, being within us and around us. And we know that as we say farewell to you this evening, that a spark of you is always within us. As the days grow longer and brighter and warmer. Goddess Astara, you who are known by many other names, Persephone, Gaia, and many others. We thank you. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
And the spirits of center, that which connects all of us to each other, to all living things, thank you for keeping us centered, for grounding us, thank you for keeping our minds and our bodies and our soul in balance and harmony. Spirits of Center, we thank you. Blessed be.
Blessed be. And to the spirits of the North, spirits of the Earth, that grounding presence within our lives, that we build our endeavors upon. We thank you for being with us. And we thank you for your grounding influence. We thank you for the rich, fertile soil that our flowers and our gardens and our opportunities and our love will grow from in this coming spring season. Spirits of the North, we thank you. Blessed be.
Blessed be. And spirits of the West, we thank you for being with us, for guiding us. For lending us your energies. You who are the source of water, we thank you for guiding us, for balancing our emotions and our intuitions. Source of the lifeblood within all of us, from the rivers, streams, lakes, and oceans. Spirits of the West, we thank you. Blessed be.
Blessed be. And to the spirits of the South, the spirits of fire, we take within us the fire of creativity and the fire of passion, which has been infused within us, and we take that in to flame and fire and fuel our opportunities and our endeavors through this coming spring. Let the warmth of the fires be shown in the warmth of our hearts and the warmth of our love. Spirits of South and the spirits of fire, we thank you. Blessed be.
Blessed be. And spirits of the East, element of air, source of messages from the gods, from our ancestors, from our higher powers. We thank you for being with us, for guiding us, and for providing us with the balance in our thoughts and communications with others. And may those winds of spring continue to send us messages of new growth, new opportunities during this season. Spirits of the East, we thank you. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
And as we focus once again on that energy, on that light that is all around us, reach out or feel that connection with others in the pagan community, to know that you are not alone, to know that we are here together with each other. And as you draw that circle of power and light back in, further in, so it's surrounding your home and then your sacred space and yourself, know that a spark of that light remains connected to others in your community. As you feel that energy, call forth the intention of wellness, of health and healing to ourselves, to our community, and to Mother Earth. Blessed be.
Blessed be. And as we open our circle, we remember, as we always do, while the circle is open, it is never broken.
Merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.
Blessed be. So that's our spring equinox.
So we have a few minutes left. Anybody want to share what color their egg was?
So we'll watch the chat and see what kind of responses we get. And as we go through, so the eggs and the colors of the eggs can mean anything, whatever that means to you. What was your, did you have an egg, Pam?
Selena did a short, she did a ritual that was different from ours last night, and I incorporated the basket theme just because we've always done something eggy related because I like the eggs, and because they're symbolic of so many different things, of rebirth and growth and all sorts of things, and last night David got green and I got purple. That's what kind of popped into my head. Swirly purple. Ooh, swirly purple. Mine was a purple that is like the color of purple crocuses. Because we have a few that, you know, we haven't really replanted or done anything with them. They've, you know, they grow, and that's great. And there's a few still hanging out, and some of them are purple. So that was the color of my head.
Yeah, and for me, the green represented just the green of spring, the green of the new grass.
Like that light green color?
Kind of a light green. New grass, the new leaves on the trees as they sprout out. You know, the green of new, I guess. I don't know how other way to put it, but that's how I kind of saw it in my mind. Yeah.
I miss green. I take it, Scorpio 62, you're probably still somewhere where it's cold and snowy and stuff.
I know. We have we know so many people in the north, in the northeast, who are still dealing with snow. And there's a new storm that's coming through that's going to hit the northeast. And they're talking up to like 13 inches and stuff. And, I mean,
wow.
A lot of snow coming in again. You know, we had snow on Monday morning here in Northern Virginia. And it's... You know, it's kind of rare to have it that late here, but we've had more snow this March than we have all winter here in Virginia, which isn't saying much.
Yeah.
So for y'all who are dealing with that white stuff, that white wet stuff that's all over still, you know, we kind of miss it, so you can send it our way.
I don't know that I miss it that much, though.
Next winter.
Maybe
it's a little
next
late
winter,
now. Next
yeah.
winter, yeah.
I'm ready to start working in the garden. Our garden needs some serious work. We need to pull out a lot of weeds and do a bunch of stuff. and the Scorpio 62, you live in Wisconsin. What's interesting is that, I don't know how close you are to where Circle is, but because we speak to Selena regularly because of the show and stuff, they still have a ton of snow on the ground. And
their spring, Welcome Spring, is this Saturday.
It is this Saturday.
At Circle Sanctuary. They'll be celebrating the return of, well, they'll be celebrating spring There'll be snow on the ground.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting because last year it was the opposite. It was uncommonly warm there.
And everything had bloomed early.
Yeah.
And opened up early and stuff, yeah.
So this year is sort of a complete reversal of that. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's nature, you know, what you can do. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
So that's one of the things that circumstances is that. And just wanted to remind people who are maybe still on the fence about maybe going to PSG.
Pagan Spirit Gathering.
They, what they do every year is requests for people to lead workshops.
Yeah, so they're still looking for people to lead workshops.
Yeah, and they're just now starting, which is, you know, typical this time of year. They start getting the requests, and then they start filling in the list of all the approved workshops. So there is some that are already on there, already seeing some interesting things on incense and making magical oils. It really runs the gamut. In the weeks to come, you're going to see a huge variety of all the different that are led. All kinds of things. Some pagan, some not as much pagan, maybe more eco or
yep.
sustainability based. Those kinds of things.
Right. So we'll be wrapping up here in a few minutes. Pam, are you with us to have any closing comments for us tonight?
Possibly not.
I know she's been having problems with the console on the Blog Talk Radio thing.
So in order to not do the dreaded dead time, we'll just remind people that remember that Circle Sanctuary has a variety of different things going on a regular basis. They've got their Welcome Spring coming up this weekend. They have Sanctuary Days once a month. Also, next week is the full moon, and I believe it's next Wednesday night that Selena will be leading her monthly full moon rituals probably right now it's going to be indoors still. When the weather permits, they do hold their full moon circles outside. And I got to tell you, if you live anywhere out in the country and you're not around people or city lights, circle is an amazing thing to see, to look up at the stars and the moon out there, because there really is very little in the way of light pollution. So that would be an awesome place to go and do a full moon ritual if you're able to.
And if not, we can always connect, you know, with them in spirit as we celebrate the full moon next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes, and we're looking forward to PSG coming up in June and other circle events happening throughout the week. We have a work weekend coming up on April 13th, and that's the days where they usually just, you know, people get together and work at Circle to kind of do some upkeep and some cleanup and other projects like that, and that's usually about the time, I guess it's May is when they put together the spirit bags for PSG at one of the work weekends. And we got Earth Day coming up as well. So we'll be closing out with TAPS here in a few minutes. We've kind of decided to start closing with that on a regular basis, because we are mostly all of us of the military persuasion, and that is something that really strikes some emotion, and, you know, so we can remember those who have served, who have passed in service or after service.
Weird Ways Radio.
Weird Ways
Live.
Radio.
Live. Join your host, author, and Northern Tradition Shaman, Galina Kraskova, with guests from across the contemporary spectrum of pagan, heathen, and polytheistic communities for an hour of in-depth and thought-provoking discussions on a variety of community issues, news, controversies, and practices. Come and learn new things and deepen your understanding of polytheism and explore what it means to be actively engaged in the restoration of ancestral traditions. It's a good day to be an animist, folks. Tune in and join us at 10, 9 Central on the first and third Wednesdays of every month. Weird Ways Radio.
Weird Ways Radio.
Weird Ways Radio. We call now upon our honored dead. We ask that they guide the work we do tonight. We call upon our grandmothers and our grandfathers, our warrior dead, our loving dead, and all those whose sacrifices and hopes paved the way for us to be here today. We are our ancestors' victory, the sum total of their hopes and dreams walking. May they ever be honored. We call upon mitochondrial Eve, our eldest mother, to rip the filter from our eyes. May she ever be honored. We call upon her mighty daughters to witness the words we speak here tonight. May they too be honored. May we speak together with reason, clarity, and integrity. May our ancestors guide us. May our words and discussions do honor both our beloved dead and the holy powers we revere. May it be.
Good evening, everyone. Happy Astara, even though I know in some parts of the country, my own included, it certainly doesn't feel like it. Welcome back to Weird Ways Radio. We have a great show for you tonight, and I'm really excited about our guest. So without further ado, I'm going to give a little introduction, and then we're going to get down to business. Our guest tonight is H. Jeremiah Lewis, also known as Sanyan, and he is a devotional polytheist, an author who has had a lifelong love affair with the great civilizations of antiquity and their sacred traditions. He serves the gods in his community under the religious name Sanyan and has led a number of successful classes, workshops, and large public rituals. When he isn't studying or writing, he can often be found out in the wild places with the nymphs. He currently resides in the lovely city of Eugene, Oregon, and you can find his writings at www.thehouseofvines.com. And I encourage you to go there, because there's some fabulous work at that site. And also, in about 15 minutes, we will be opening the line. So anyone who would like to participate in the conversation or ask us questions should call in at 347-308-8232. And now, with further ado, I'd like to welcome you, Sanyan. And, of course, my co-host, Laura. Laura, I'm sorry.
Hi. No, it's okay. I'm excited to be here.
How are you both doing?
Good. I'm doing pretty good.
Well, Sanyan, is there anything that I missed in your introduction? It's very weird because I know both of you, and now we have to be all formal on the air, and that's just odd.
Yeah, it is.
Hi, Sanyan.
No, no.
Good to meet you.
That's nice to meet you, too. No, the introduction seems pretty good.
Good, good. I think the three of us have the potential to cause more trouble and controversy than any three people should, and I'm okay with that. So, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the gods that you honor? I know that you are a devout Dionysian, and I'm sure that for some people listening, they probably have no idea what that means.
Yeah, probably not. First of all, I would like to thank Dionysus, opener of the door, for this opportunity to speak tonight on the show. I think it's really cool. I like what you're doing. And so, yeah, I guess I should start with who Dionysus is. He's the god of madness and wine and ecstasy and nature and all that good stuff. And yeah, I've completely devoted myself to him and, you know, sort of making his stuff manifest in the world. And it's been a crazy, crazy adventure.
Yeah, I also belong to a god who has his share of madness. And I think crazy adventure, if I'm not speaking out of turn, is probably an understatement.
No, definitely not.
I had someone say to me quite recently that they were talking to me about the work that I do. They said, "You seem to take this very seriously."
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, how else would one take it? Serving the God.
Exactly.
I know that this is something that all three of us have discussed at length. Serving the gods is not a bloody hobby.
No, it's not.
And I want some of the questions, people have been emailing me questions the past couple of days since they heard who my guest was or would be at that point. And one of the questions that I have been getting is, well, how do I get started? And for me, my thing is, if the work is going to teach you how to do it, start.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, a lot of people are worried at, you know, the beginning about getting it right and, you know, all this stuff. But the thing is, you learn along the way and by doing it and actually worshiping the gods and, you know, figuring out what's right and what's wrong and what works and doesn't. And so I don't think all that worry is necessary, and just do it.
Yeah, it seems like some of the worry, I mean, while it's very good to worry and be concerned about wanting to honor the gods well, there's a point where you have to really let ego go and get over the fear of being an idiot. Because we all learn, and in the process, we're all going to screw up. I mean, that's inherent in the process.
Yeah,
so
that's how you learn, is by making mistakes, you know?
Exactly. You fall in the crap, and you pick yourself up, and you go forward, and you endeavor not to fall in the same crap. There will be different crap to fall into.
Yeah, so true, so true.
You know, it's true. I mean, I know that I try very hard with my own students and with those that work with me to ensure that they are able to really engage with their gods and develop that relationship without accruing too much spiritual debt. In other words, without screwing up too badly. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you're going to. And I don't think you can do passionate service if you're so afraid of getting things wrong that you're petrified. And I'm one of the things that I'm fairly sure the three of us agree on is that you should give passionate service.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's not passionate, what's the point in doing it? You know, you have to, like, push beyond what's comfortable and really go to the extremes if you want to get any kind of tangible results. And
why is that so hard for people? That thing right there. I see it even in the way that, of being heathen, I see it in the way that so many heathens give offerings. Let's not give too much now. Let's not do too much devotion. What the hell is too much?
Oh,
no.
That's
really,
not a question for any one of us. Because you know, you have to engage, and it's a gut thing. And I think part of post-modernity is people try and over-intellectualize everything. And it's not that you can't intellectualize or that thought is bad. It's not. But if you're going to connect, it's going to be a visceral gut thing. And there's intensity of emotion and reservoirs of power that people are afraid to tap because it's messy, and people are afraid of making a mess. And they need to get all kindergarten Montessori up in that. And they need to, like, use manipulatives and, like, you know, finger paint, and they need to be prepared to make a mess.
Yep.
Daniel, a while ago, actually last year in your blog, I'm going to read a quote. It's something that you wrote, and it hit me very hard, and it stayed with me. And I want to throw this out there and then open up the conversation a little bit. And this, as someone who is owned by Odin, all I can say, I read this, and I jumped up and down, and I said, this. You wrote, and I quote, "I must proclaim that the gods and spirits are real, that they cannot be reduced to this vague concept of the universal divine, that we feel them and talk to them, and sometimes they take hold of us and drive us insane, that the greatest gifts of the gods often come about as a result of that madness. Our gods are earthy and sensual and wild and dangerous, that we dance and feast and shout and bleed and cry and fuck and get intoxicated for them, and this is right and necessary and the essence of true worship as we Dionysians understand it. That we must pursue liberation and wholeness with everything in our power, no matter what sacrifices it requires. that painful things must be endured, or how the pursuit deforms and damages us along the way, and if that scares people and makes them uncomfortable, so be it. I could not agree more with that.
I don't remember writing that, but okay, yeah, I agree with that completely.
I hope so.
And, you know, I can totally see why, you know, a person devoted to Odin would get that, because there's that same kind of intensity and frenzy and wonderfulness there, so.
It tastes different. I know you and I have said before that if you look at Odin and Dionysus and you picture a Venn diagram, they're very different, but there's a place, there's a space where they dance crosses.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of overlap there, but nah, I would never mistake the one for the other, and
no,
that's why that whole sort of pantheist, monotheist stuff, it just doesn't make any sense, because, I mean, they're very, very different, even with all those, you know, abundant similarities.
Huh. I have a huge teeth-gnashing response to that. All gods are one god. I've done a lot of work in the community, and you see it a lot. You're like, oh, mother, father, god, or oh, spirit. Which one?
Which one?
Makes me want to puke.
Yeah, that's like going up to a school, right, to pick up your kid at the end of the day and be like, oh, child, any child, get in the car.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, oh, child, you know, it's just like, what, like some specificity, please, can we get some specificity? Can we just not have it be so nebulous and fuzzy? Can we just...
But people are afraid
of the... No, I think that's a really good metaphor for that, you know?
Oh, child,
you know. just show up at a random, you know, just show up at McDonald's. Oh, workplace one day. Confuse everyone. Be like, I want a paper hat, but you don't work here. It's a job. All jobs are the same job.
Oh, you know, I kind of want to do that, actually. That sounds fun.
Oh, Eugene's not going to know what hit it. Tell me about the work that you do. I mean, I know that writing is a huge part of your service to Dionysus.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, well, you know, like, he's a very sort of artistic, theatrical god, and so, you know, like, I guess sacred performance art is a big part of what I do for him, and, you know, like, I write and sort of, you know, express what I experience and my understanding of him and put it all out there. And, you know, maybe it'll resonate with people and maybe it won't, but, you know, it's kind of about just expressing it. And
words are your weapon.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I belong to a god that appreciates that.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes in with the other god that I honor, which is Hermes, you know, the god of language and trickstery and that kind of stuff and magic. And, you know, so it's a way to sort of honor both of them. And also my other spirit that I honor is Spider, and she's like a weaver of, you know, magic and stuff. And so, yeah, writing is very important to what I do.
Now, spider medicine is, as I was thought about it, being terribly arachnophobic and spider medicine also has connotations of connecting to the dead and of communicating with the ancestors. Do you do anything with dead?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. I mean, that's a very, very deep part of, you know, that sort of spider stuff, especially in, like, West African traditions where, like, spider is the intermediary between the king and the people and their ancestors, and it's like this sort of spoke or wheel or thing connecting all of that. And so, you know, that's, like, very resonant with my stuff, even though most of it is, you know, sort of a pan-Mediterranean with a strong Italian emphasis, but... You know, there's also that because of, like...
Polytheism, I mean, many gods.
Yeah, exactly.
So many of the contemporary polytheist communities, I know heathenry, certainly has this sense of insularity, like, oh, we're only going to honor the North Gods, but I don't think that's what our ancestors would have done.
No, no. I mean, like, they traveled all over because of, you know, various things like war and conquest and, you know, merchandising and stuff. And so, like, they intermix with various populations. And, of course, you know, you're going to bring your gods with you and honor them and stuff. And so, you know, I think syncretism is a natural progression of polytheism. And that's also why, you know, the whole controversy with, ooh, Christo-pagans and stuff, you know, I mean, it's so just ridiculous, because that's like, you know, that's out there, and so, you know, why not honor that, because that's part of what's real and stuff, and making this artificial boundary of, oh, you can only, you know, do this and not express that, it's just ridiculous to me.
I always looked at it like, you honor your gods of your ancestors, you honor the gods of the land where you're at, and you honor the gods that call to your heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us a little bit about this controversy, because some people listening may not know, may not be as attuned to some of the currents and controversies that are rising up in the community. Christo-pagan, what is that? What's going on with that?
Well, that's somebody that, I guess, you know, honors pagan stuff and also Christian stuff. I mean, I think it's probably different for each person. I mean, for me personally, I honor various Italian saints and stuff, but you know, for me, Jesus is like the least interesting aspect of Christianity. And so, you know, I'm sure I'm not representative of most Christo-pagans who tend to focus on Jesus or Mary and, you know, that kind of stuff. And that just doesn't interest me about it, but it's, you know, the more kind of like folk Catholicism stuff, and which is all very kind of macabre and bloody and, you know, all about like tortured flesh and stuff. And for me, that resonates because you don't really find that, especially in like classical polytheism, which, you know, tends to be very, I guess, pristine sort of, you know, like, you know, in Homer, the gods can't experience death. And, you know, like when Ion is dying, you know, his patron has to like move away so she can't experience that. You know, but whereas with Catholicism, it's much more about, you know, the sort of tortured flesh and stuff and martyrs and decapitated saints and stuff. And I don't know, it just kind of appeals to a macabre aspect of who I am. I'm sure, you know, most Catholics would be completely horrified with that explanation. But
well,
whatever,
you're
you know.
You're talking to two people who are both heathen and who practice one of the African traditional religions. So,
exactly.
It hardly horrifies us.
Yeah.
Yep. And plus, I mean, like, it's a spider that led me to this, and most people are completely horrified by spiders, you know. I'm wearing a T-shirt right now that says, you have nothing to fear but fear itself and spiders. And most people that see that are like, yeah, you know, spiders are scary. And I'm like, no, it's the fact that spiders scare you that I think is really awesome, because you know, you're prey.
We are the God's prey.
Yep.
I mean, I think that this is what I would like to tell people who are trying to come to spirit work and shamanism. Do the work and prepare yourself and show up, but don't expect that you're entitled to something or to special treatment.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's why so many people have such a problem with that, is because they don't want to admit there's something more powerful than them, and it all comes back to ego.
Yeah, and they're terrified of, oh, sorry, they're terrified of non-consensual engagement. And, like, they want so much to control the experience. And I think that's part of it, too. And part of the process is getting that out of your head. If you are, like, dealing with powers that are much bigger and stronger than you are, like, you really aren't going to control that process.
No.
And that's a newsflash for a lot of people, and it's one that, like, freaks a lot of people out.
Yeah, and, like, if you really want to have a real and powerful experience, you have to be able to, like, open yourself up to it and kind of let go and, you know, see what the god or spirit shapes it, you know. And that's scary to people because they want to control things. And
also, I mean, the presence, the unadulterated presence of the sacred is terrifying. And people think that you can go in, you can interact with this, you can be in the same space as that which is sacred and not be affected, not be changed. And, I mean, you know, another news flash, it will undo you. It will
yeah.
unmake you, and it will build you up again or not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. And, like, you know, that goes back to language and writing and stuff. Like, the word holy has completely changed its meaning. I mean, for the ancient Greeks, that was a word that meant, you know, something that terrified you, and you ran away from it. You know, you were far, far from it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, I like the fact that Ariadne's name means very holy one, because, you know, that's really scary to most people. And so...
Yeah, and it is scary, and it should be scary. But you know what I say to these people? Do it anyway.
Exactly. Run towards what makes you afraid.
I think that's where I have a disconnect sometimes when people come to me, you know, for spiritual direction. I'll hear this, well, oh, that's frightening, or oh, that's painful, or oh, that hurts. But they very obviously need to get from point A to point B, and I'm like, so how is that even relevant?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it really comes down to that.
Yeah. And then you want to say, and? It's scary, and?
Yeah.
I don't want to do it, and? It's like, and just do it anyway.
Yeah.
How about
that's like the people that are...
Do it anyway.
Yeah. And like people that are all envious about, you know, those of us that have actual, you know, connection with the gods and, you know, have god phones and all that stuff. It's like... Yeah, you're envious of that, but you don't actually want to put in the work that is necessary to have that, you know, the pain and suffering and the transformation and everything constantly changing for you. You know, that's hard to deal with.
Yeah, they want the phone, but they don't want it to ring at 2 a.m.
Exactly. And
yeah.
If you're not able to do your magic at 2 a.m., you know, when that wakes you up, then, yeah, you know, you can't do it.
It's like, I want a phone, but I want to determine when it's going to ring and who's going to be on the other line and what they're going to tell me to do. And I only want to take the direction if they tell me that they want me to buy jewelry for myself.
Exactly. Oh, you of course need all the fancy props.
Oh, yeah.
You know, put all your time and attention into all that pretty stuff.
It's like...
Hey, I love playing as much as the next person, but it's not necessary for the work.
Yeah, there you go. I'm like, yeah, usually if it, you know, question it. If, like, you're getting the message that, like, they only want you to do things that are fun and benefit you, then I would question the validity of that phone. Then I would say that phone is probably made by Fisher-Price, and you should go to the Nokia store.
Yep.
That's
and, like,
I'm
if,
saying.
You know, the Oracle is always about how awesome you are and, you know, what a special butterfly you are, you know, maybe there's a problem there. And, you know, if it's all about your titles and labels and what you call yourself, yeah, I think there's a problem.
Okay, my communication with the gods tends to be more like work harder and try to do it with more grace. And by the way,
exactly.
The things that I need you to do, shut up and get to work.
Yeah, exactly.
We love you, but shut up and get to work. So, in your opinion, because I know that, you know, you have a very popular blog and a lot of people go to it. And I know
I don't understand that at all. Like, why the hell are people reading me? I mean, I wouldn't read me. I'm really weird and out there, you know?
Weird and out there is good. It's one of the curatives, I think, that we need for this sick, sad world that we're in.
Maybe.
You've got the medicine that they need. But what do you I know that all of us get our share of people contacting us with multiple questions. And, you know, I welcome that. Hey, it's all good. But I also know that we're all, because of that, acutely aware of some of the issues in the pagan communities in which we have to move. And I don't think any one of us right now here restrict ourselves to one community. By virtue of the work that needs to be done, we are dealing with multiple traditions.
Yeah.
So here's just an interesting bird's eye view. What do you think are some of the major issues threatening paganism today? I mean, I'm guessing Christo-pagans aren't one of them.
No, I mean, that's the thing that I love about it. It's become, like, such an issue, and everybody's talking about it. But, like, how many people are there that are actually doing that? You know, like, maybe a few dozen or something, but, ooh, it's become this serious thing that everybody has to talk about, you know, because it's controversial. Ooh.
Before we go on, I just want to let folks know that you are welcome to call in if you'd like to chat with us or if you have any specific questions. And the number for that is 347-308-8222. Don't be afraid to call in, folks. We don't bite.
Yes. Call in, my puppets, call in.
You know, we won't steal your soul and put it in a coconut.
Well, speak for yourself. That's totally what I'm planning on doing.
Seriously, though, I look at the communities in which I have to move, and it's maddening.
Yeah. I think the biggest issue that's really facing paganism is that they're all afraid and a bunch of cowards, you know? Like, they don't want to really engage with these powers and deal with stuff. And so they come up with all these reasons why they don't have to and, you know, why they can, you know, be comfortable and complacent and all of that. And, you know, like, it's totally okay, you know, you just have to call yourself pagan. You can be pagan enough, you know. That was a whole big meme a while back, and everybody was posting that on their blogs, you know. Oh, you know, you don't actually have to, you know, care about nature and stuff. You don't have to, you know, put your money where your values are. You can just, you know, call yourself pagan and go to Walmart and buy a bunch of crap and, you know, plastic stuff made in China and, you know, offer that to the gods. And that's totally cool, you know, because you're pagan enough. And, you know, so, yeah, I think fear is what's the big problem.
Don't even believe in the gods. I've encountered pagans that don't even believe in the gods.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that agnostic, atheist, humanist thing, that really bothers me.
Yeah, I don't know what that is about. That just confuses me. Confused.
Yeah, I mean, like, what the hell are you then? You're an atheist, you're an agnostic, you know, you're not a pagan, because every pagan culture, for the dawn of time, has had gods and spirits and supernatural powers and, you know, ancestors and stuff that they honored. And, you know, that's what defined culture. I mean, it goes back to that quote by Herodotus, you know, where he talks about what, you know, defines a race or something is the gods and ancestors that they honor. And if you don't have that, you don't have a people. So.
Right.
Can I just interject here that as someone who's doing a PhD in classics, I get so excited that you can quote Herodotus.
Yeah, I'm not a total source nerd, like, and that makes me angry because, you know, these days all these people have the internet and they can, you know, go to COI.com and Perseus and stuff. But, you know, I actually read all of these sources back in the day when I didn't have the internet and, you know, and because of that, I think I have a deeper immersion than somebody that just can casually Google whatever they want, you know. And I think that's what's necessary to have a real relationship with the gods is this, you know, deep engagement with culture and literature and stuff.
And it's not enough just to change your religion. I mean, you have to rip away the postmodern filter that was informed by the doctrine of discovery, by the growth of monotheism, and by all the mental sophistication that included, to rip that thing away and learn to see through the eyes of your polytheistic ancestors. You need to reclaim that.
No, and exactly, and I think that's the thing that pisses me off the most about that whole Sam Webster thing where, you know, every Christian is your enemy bullshit, because it's like, there's an actual enemy out there that's the spilter that's, like, changing who we are fundamentally.
Right.
And that's not tied in with Christianity. You know, a lot of Christians have used that and exploited their connection to that filter to, you know, attain dominance and power and wealth and stuff. But that doesn't mean that every single Christian is inherently guilty of that, you know.
And the problem is the monotheistic mindset. It's not Christianity. You look at some of the early sects of Christianity, and there's nothing inherently monotheistic about it.
Exactly, no.
Right.
I mean, like, Paul is constantly bitching about people that are, you know, worshiping pagan gods and going into the temples and yet claiming to worship Christ. So clearly that shows that there's this alternative there that doesn't see him as, you know, the one and only God, but, you know, a pretty cool God among many, you know.
Well, I think that there's a real interesting thing that happened, and it was a real paradigm shift. And I think defining it as the filter, as what seeks to separate people from their own mystical and ecstatic experiences and direct connection with the divine.
Yeah, exactly. And that's fear. That's fear
and,
that
and
does that.
And move them, yeah, to a place where they are incapable and immobilized by either fear or reserve or lack of passion so that they are easily controlled and spoon-fed.
Yeah.
Their reality and their watered-down spiritual experiences that are controlled outside of, you know, outside of them by some, you know, that they cannot, they feel so disconnected. They cannot plug in directly.
Yeah.
Because the filter is about that to me.
Yeah, and that's what the actual enemy is. And by saying, ooh, you know, Christians are evil, that distracts from the real enemy that we have, which is, you know, that thing that wants to, like, distort our spirit and make us empty and, you know.
Sanitized for their protection.
Machine. Yeah.
Yeah. I've called it the machine before because it's a very mechanized mindset. I mean, we're going to write this down, and it's going to be written down once and for all, and that is going to be your faith.
Yep.
Now and forever, amen. It's written in a book, and don't deviate from that.
Yeah, and the thing that, you know, annoys me is that, like, there's so many people talking about this. Like, you know, it goes back to, like, William Blake and, you know, Nietzsche and, you know, Matrix and all this stuff that's telling you, you know, wake up, stop, you know, being blinded and all of this. And, you know, people go along and they cheer for that. Yay, that's cool, you know.
Yeah, but when
then,
you start
like,
to wake up, there comes with it an obligation to fight back. There comes with it an obligation to enter into this role. And that comes with resistance. And I know that the minute that I looked the filter in the eyes and I said, I know you, my ancient enemy, I call you out. I will stand against you with everything at my disposal. There was some resistance, and things got really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, and like I think also people are scared of that kind of intensity and awkwardness and, you know, not fitting in with the, you know, the defined parameters. And
Yeah, but, you know,
it makes you weird and strange. And personally, I like being weird and strange. So.
We're all weird and strange. I mean, it's the alternative. It's living a life where you are cut off from the ecstatic, glorious, full body, full spirit experience of the gods, the spirits, the ancestors, the world, and your place in that continuum. Well, I'd rather be weird and strange.
Yes. Amen, sister.
Yes.
You know, this thing, this filter, it brings a desiccation of the spirit, and it feeds on that desiccation.
Oh, it does. It does.
It's the homogenization of everything.
The homogenization. And that's what so appalls me about some of the current trends in contemporary paganism. This desire to marginalize the polytheistic voice, marginalize the devotional voice, marginalize the experiential voice in favor of something that merely mimics the worst aspects of WASP Protestantism.
Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, like, it freaks me out that it's perfectly fine if you're an atheist or, you know, you're a Jedi. But if you, you know, actually worship the gods, you're a Nazi fundamentalist, you're, you know, or if you happen to worship gods as well as, you know, saints, you're, ooh, freaky, weird, and we have to persecute you and stuff. And, you know, but no, it's okay if you believe in nothing and, you know, it's totally sanitized and safe and comfortable. Ugh.
Yeah,
and
it's
a
control game. It's
it
totally,
is.
This is the fact that there are so many, when people are like, you know, spinning up, you know, and freaking out, like completely freaking out, because like I've had so many people and heard so many people freaking about how everybody, oh, you can do this, but you can't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do ordeal, no matter what you do. Don't do sex magic, no matter what you do. That these are like hot button issues. I'm like, why do you care? If you're doing what you need to be doing and you have your own engaged spiritual life, what do you care what I'm doing up in my house? I could have 10 people and a cadre of trained hedgehogs. It shouldn't matter to you. I mean, it shouldn't matter to you if I'm getting down however I'm getting down. Like,
exactly.
Why are you so all fired, like, freaked out that other people are doing things that you don't want to do? If you don't want to do ordeal, you don't want to do sex magic, you don't want to do A, B, C, and D, that's fine. Rock on with your bad self. But leave me the hell alone.
Yeah, exactly. And, like,
I got
my
hedgehog, man. That's a joke.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, I don't want PETA coming up into my house thinking I have, like, magically trained hedgehogs. But I'm just, like, saying, like, why do people care? Why do people care?
No, and like for me, I'm a complete misanthrope, and I hate everybody, and I don't want to deal with people. So, you know, like, I don't care what people are doing as long as they're not trying to enforce their will on other people. You know, that's what bothers me, and that's and that and stupidity, utter stupidity, really pisses me off. But
and just think about it: if you are trying to force your will on another person, how do you know they're not doing exactly what their gods and ancestors directed them to do? And you really want to get in the way of that?
No.
Yeah, that's not going to go well for you, man.
No.
It's like Pentheus, you know.
Yeah, it's like, you know, just, it's like, do your own work, you know. It's like, I'm too busy doing my own work. I don't care what other people are up to, other than, wow, if that's interesting, or if they've discovered, like, a new way to go about something, or I enjoy reading blogs like House of the Vines and Gangleri's Grove, and, like, blogs where people are doing their work, and, like, where you get inspired, like, you know, where, wow, okay, here's something, you know, I hadn't thought about this take on it or doing things in this way. But other than that, like, why are people so freaked out about what other people are getting up to?
No, and I know, and, like, you know, anytime you're looking at a blog and you see, like, the same people commenting and saying the same kind of crap, you know, it makes you wonder, like, do they have nothing going on in their life better than to sit there and, you know, snipe at other people and, you know.
Hey, guys, I'm going to interrupt. We actually have a caller.
Oh, wow.
Ooh,
hey,
a caller.
Brave soul.
It's another member of House Sankofa. Saren, welcome.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi. I was listening, and I got caught up in listening, and I didn't know if it would come on.
Oh, I just want to say, Sarah, I love the stuff you write. You are an awesome blogger and, you know, cool. Glad you called.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's interesting that Odin's folk and Dionysus's folk get along better than Odin's folk and Odin's folk. Although Sarah and I get along just fine. I want to put that out there. That's not
going
to be
No, I think Dionysus and Odin's folk get along very well, so.
So, Saren, did you have a question or a comment that you wanted to make?
My name's actually Pete.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I looked at the, I was given the wrong name. I'm so sorry. So, Pete.
Oh, no.
Well, hey,
hi,
Pete, how's it going?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Sorry, it's kind of awkward. I got the background in the computer, and then on the phone, it's weird. My chihuahua's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Welcome to my world. Everybody thinks I'm crazy.
It's okay. I think you're crazy, too.
Crazy,
but I did have a question going back to the talk about, you know, this kind of issue in paganism where everyone's, like, not believing in the gods. And I'm wondering if we have a problem, what kind of solution can we find to that?
Oh, that's a really, really good question. I mean, that's the thing that I think everybody is kind of considering. And frankly, I think people just need to let go of, you know, the pagan label and just kind of do their own stuff. And each community will, you know, sort of coalesce around the values that they share and the gods that they honor. And, you know, beyond that, nobody will really care what anybody else is doing. And I think that'll be really good, but I don't know if that'll happen because people kind of thrive on controversy and stuff.
I think the controversy is a substitute for actual active devotional engagement.
Oh,
so
totally.
I know a lot of, controversy is a substitute for active devotional engagement. And I know that for myself and for Laura, we work our butts off trying to get people connected with our own ancestors, because then the ancestors can take over the ass-kicking. And, and that goes a long way to teaching right relationship with the gods, with the spirits, and with each other. I mean, we're not separate from the communities in which we move.
Yeah.
But it's a one-person-at-a-time process. I mean, not one of us here can do someone else's devotional work for them. So we talk, we write, we network with each other, we teach. And if somebody comes to me really wanting to get connected to the gods and spirits, I'll go to the wall helping them do that. But they have to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah, there isn't, I agree 100%. There isn't a way to kind of take that journey and take those steps for another person. All we can say when we teach or when we're in our communities is these are some of the things that have helped. Then it's up to each individual, you know, because, I mean, if we could, like, can it and, like, give it to you and you could just, like, flip the top up and then all of a sudden it's like, woo, look, I'm all engaged with my ancestors. I know all my stuff is solid. All my ducks are lined in a row and I have just had knowledge dropped on me. Like, we would do it. But, you know, no such luck thus far. But, yeah, everybody has to, like, go through that process for themselves. And know that it is a process, and it's, like, ongoing. There is no real terminal endpoint at which, like, you're just fully cooked and, like, you're done, and you can just sit there and be like, ooh, and I'm sitting up on top of my mountain, you know, God, you know, I'm just, you know.
And if you reach that point, you've screwed yourself.
The gods, your ancestors, pick your ass up and throw you off the mountain.
There you go. And be like, look, there's a higher mountain over there. Go there. Yeah.
So, Pete, thank you for calling in. Did we answer your question as best we could?
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
Do you have an opinion about, you know, what you think the solution is?
I'm not sure. I'm really in Aries, and I know you and I have gone back and forth on the blogosphere around, and I'm always kind of a let's get in people's faces and fuck
them
up type of.
Yeah. I'm with you there, man. And that's the thing, like, you know, I assume you're Pete Helms of Aspis Severus, in which case you are awesome. I love your blog.
Yeah, same here.
But anyway,
really,
and that's the great thing. Like, with the blogosphere, there's a lot of people that I love reading the stuff that they write because it's passionate and it comes from their experience. And these are often people that I wouldn't necessarily get along with personally, but I can totally respect them, you know, like, because they're doing their stuff and they're putting the work in and, you know, honoring the gods. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all that matters, you know, like, I don't care about them personally. And, you know, but as long as you're honoring your gods, that's what I care about, you know.
And Pete, one of the things that I also would suggest to people is just keep fighting. Get it. Don't be afraid of conflict. Wade in, because there's going to be conflict, regardless of what you do.
And I love that Pete is talking about, like, the military aspect. And, you know, actually doing war stuff for Aries and, you know, not just like, ooh, you know, overcoming obstacles, you know, which is such a vague thing, but actually having that martial aspect. And, you know, that's really cool. And that's a message that I think really needs to get out there, and that, you know, Aries is an actual god and worth being honored. And
as someone who does a lot of work with the military dead, that's a huge part of my ancestor practice, just thank you. I respect the work that you're doing.
No big deal.
I think we have another caller, too, that's going to be joining us shortly, but I don't have a name. So if someone pops on, I encourage you to introduce yourself. I have.
Let's call him Sarenth.
Sarenth.
Yeah, every caller will now be called Sarenth.
Everyone.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Sarenth, how's it going?
Hello?
Hi, who are you?
Hi. Hi,
welcome.
I'm Sihathor.
Oh,
hi.
Hey. I like your blog, too.
Thank you.
Excellent people are calling in tonight.
Yeah, me too. We're glad people are calling in.
Yeah, I almost completely forgot as I had been distracted with other things, but I have luckily managed to remember. What I would like to ask, first of all, that you always have, I just want to say you always have interesting stuff on your blog. You are not a boring person.
Well, thank you. I don't like boring at all. I'd rather go through like horrible, excruciating experiences than be bored. So,
well,
thank you.
So, that said, I am curious about Spider. I've read bits of your blog here and there, and you mentioned a Catholic spider with severed heads, and I'm also just interested because I'm a bug person.
Yeah.
So I just wondering about Spider. I don't know what. I don't even know anything except Spider.
Yeah. Oh, she's really, really weird. Like, years ago, you know, Hermes kind of said that I would be getting this spirit assistant, and, you know, that, and then through a series of weird things that happened, it turned out to be Spider. And, you know, first I thought it was like this animal totem thing. And then she kind of turned into a goddess. And then she started, you know, showing me all of these stories about herself. And, you know, then I started like getting all these connections with Erigone and Ariadne. And then there's all this weird, like, Italian Catholic stuff with Tarantism. And so, like, she sort of developed into this personality for me. And I don't know if that's because of, you know, who she is or what, but, you know, it's become this weird thing for me. And, you know, so she's this sort of power that I honor. And, you know, and she's very connected with, like, dreams and magic and stuff. And for a while, I started getting all these, you know, weird occurrences with severed heads, and like I dreamt about them, and you know, they just started showing up, and you know, all the stuff that I was reading and images that would come to me, and you know, sometimes through visions, and sometimes just through like random media that I was reading or viewing, and then you know, I started like noticing that once it happened more than six or seven times. And, you know, so then it sort of developed into this thing. And then that, you know, and then one night I had this realization that it, you know, sort of like severed heads, holding one up would be like holding up a mask. And then that led to all this fool stuff. And then through the fool stuff, I sort of connected with Italy and Harlequin and all this, you know, comedy stuff, which sort of led back to Dionysus, which is, you know, what is like the central spoke of all my stuff. And then, you know, also there's this current of spider stuff that's connected with Tarantism, which is this phenomenon in Italy where, you know, these people get bitten by spiders and then they sort of have to go into the woods and dance, and, you know, it's very sort of mimetic. And, you know, the only thing that cures them from this madness is dancing and music and all that. And if they don't hear the proper tune, they'll hang themselves. And, you know, so it's weird because it goes back to Arachne. And so, again, all my stuff is weirdly interconnected, and it's like this intricate web. And realizing that, you know, sort of shows how dominant Spider is in all my stuff. I don't know. Is that an answer to your question, or am I just rambling?
It's an answer. I expected it to be complex, but you did answer my question. Interested, like I said, I am a bug person. But also, you know, you were talking, I found it interesting that you were talking about a god that you were experiencing that wasn't exactly written down in some, like, epic or something.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the spider is very, very weird. Like, sometimes I'll get communications from her that come from comic books, you know, for instance, Spider-Man. Like, one of the signs that I had in that series that I mentioned that sort of confirmed that, you know, she was the one was seeing a comic book with, you know, Spider-Man and Black Cat. And then, like, I went outside and a U-Haul truck passed by and there was a spider on it. And then, you know, it was like, throughout that day, I had just like all these occurrences where spider kept coming up. And it's like eventually I realized, oh, wait, the thing that's constant in that is spider. And sort of that's how I realized that, oh, wait, you know, maybe this is a spirit that's talking to me. And then once I opened myself up and started listening, I, you know, got messages from her, and she sort of became a real presence in my life. And, you know.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you for answering my question. Glad to be calling in.
Oh, yeah. No, glad to hear from you. Well, and thank you. It's cool because, like I said, I really love the stuff you're writing, especially now that you started writing again. It's really cool. And, you know.
Thanks.
So I hope to hear many more awesome things from you.
Thanks.
Excellent.
All right. I will get off the phone now and make way for the next caller or whoever. Right. Bye.
Yes, yes, more callers. Anybody that's listening, please call in.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I don't see anybody else calling in, but hopefully folks will. We certainly welcome it. See, we don't bite too much.
Oh, I bite all the time. I bite as much as I can. But go ahead and call in anyway, because I want to bite you.
Yeah. So tell me about Harlequin. You had mentioned when you were in
that question. Oh, Harlequin is weird. Again, you know, like everything I talk about is weird because it's freaking weird. You know, like even to me, and like I'm really, really immersed in all this stuff. And there's moments where I sit there and I go like, you know, like I read the stuff that I write and I'm like, wow, that dude is totally crazy. But I'm the one that's writing it. And so like Harlequin is like this, again, constant presence that keeps coming up over and over again. And yet he's like completely fake. He's artificial. He's, you know, just this role that various people play. And yet there's this constant resonance where stuff that, you know, like I experience, you know, visions and dreams and, you know, intuitions that I have keep coming up in plot points in the Harlequin plays and stuff. And it's like, I don't even begin to understand what that is, but clearly it's such a constant thing that I have to recognize it as something significant, and so I honor it with the name Harlequin.
Yeah,
and he's, you know, in case anybody doesn't know, he's like this clown character that is in Italian plays and English plays and Russian plays and like all over the place, but he also kind of goes back to this king that, you know, made a deal with a dwarf, and the dwarf had a leopard skin cape, which I think is significant that they point that out, since that's sort of a Dionysian thing. Again, the common reference back to Dionysus, because he's like in everything that I do. And so anyway, so this king has this, you know, feast with the dwarf underground at his marriage ceremony, and he eats the fairy wine and food and stuff. And of course, anytime you go underground and you eat the food, you're screwed. So, you know, he spends 300 years there and then comes up, and like everything has changed. And so he then leads the wild hunt because he was a king that hunted and stuff. And so, you know, and he does that for a while, and then that becomes like a medieval demon who then, you know, is put into a bunch of passion plays. And then from that, he evolves into, you know, sort of character of the Italian stage and all that.
I've always used images of Harlequin for Loki, actually, at some point.
Yeah, no, I mean, and like when you look at the character of Harlequin and, you know, the stuff that people put into his voice, it's very similar to, you know, like, sentiments of Loki that I see and a bunch
we
of stuff.
We actually have another caller.
Oh, yay, more callers.
Wow.
Woo.
I'm bringing him online now. Hello. Please give us your name.
Hey, my name is Connor.
Hi, Connor. Thank you for calling in.
Hello, Connor.
Yeah, thank you. I'm, you know, happy to call in. You know, Zanian, I didn't pronounce that right, but I'm from Texas.
Yeah, that's how I pronounce it,
right.
So you pronounce it right.
Oh, sweet. Okay, I'm not completely ignorant. Okay, so obviously I follow your blog. Obviously you're a crazy dude.
Yeah.
that much is evident. I am actually very interested in preserving the, I guess, more traditional aspects of it. I'm a devotee of Athena for a reason. So my question to you is, where do you think that all traditions should be preserved and should be passed down, or do you think that perhaps there are, it is better for it to be a individual soul-searching quest of religion and spirituality?
Actually, I think both. You know, like, I think every possible tradition, every possible way of honoring the gods, and all the very different gods should have their, you know, place and representatives and stuff. And, you know, like, Athena, I totally honor her. She's really awesome and cool, and I will never have anything to do with her because we are completely opposed. You know, oil and water, madness and reason, you know, they have nothing to do with each other. So, yeah, I think she deserves her place, and that place is way over there. And, you know, so, yeah, you know, and I think that's the thing that I think could preserve all of this stuff. It's all this idea that we have to, you know, get along and, you know, there's only one way of being and stuff. And anytime that that happens and people are forced together, that's when you get conflict. But, you know, if people can keep their distances, you know, nice fences keep happy neighbors. And
yeah, that's a very good point. I actually, today, I was discussing with a friend, and I eventually wrote a post about it, about, you know, about the fact that we're all kind of in our own little house, in our own little place, and you can't really expect anyone else to be forced to live in your house, but you can certainly you can certainly see other people's lives by their spirituality and religion, and the more I've been involved with Reconstructionism, the more I've realized that it's a very one-sided argument that it makes sometimes, and there's only room for teachers in it. It's what it seems like. There's people like yourself just don't seem to have a proper place, and that's really frustrating for me personally, because I find that, you know, the craziness that is associated with devotees and followers like you provides a huge room for growth and introspection. I mean,
I think you're absolutely right. And like, go ahead.
I was just going to say, since I've found your blog and started reading it, I thought about things that I did not think I was going to think about. I mean, your blog in of itself shifted my opinion on, for example, a quote unquote Christo pagans or pagans or whatever with Christian influence, which is kind of a pointless phrase anyway, but it conveys what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's a service that needs to be done.
Yeah. And I know what you mean, because, like, I read your post that you mentioned earlier, and that really kind of, like, changed my mind. And I'm actually going to mention that later on in, you know, a future post. But and I think you're right. Like, I think that part of, and especially in the Hellenic community, like, Hellenics are always talking about, you know, oh, you know, it's sad that we haven't made any progress, and, you know, look at the heathens, look at how much they've accomplished, and all this stuff.
Yeah,
but, you know, we were starting out at the exact same time. There was groups in, you know, California and the East Coast that were doing stuff back in the 70s. So, like, the, you know, heathens didn't get much more of a start than we did. But here's the thing, like, we really pushed all the mystics and all the weird people and all the people that were intensely devoted to particular gods, you know, whether that god was Dionysus or Athena or, you know, whatnot, out into the margins. And, like, Artemis, you know, like, you know, there's a, I know a priestess of Artemis that was really, you know, pushed out into the margins. And, you know, and then you wonder, all these devoted people are no longer here in the center. Why isn't there progress? Well, I think there you go. There's your answer, you know. Yep. So I think if there's any hope for the Hellenic and classical communities and, you know, Roman stuff and even Cometic stuff, I mean, because that same thing has happened there, you know, I think you need to kind of make it more comfortable for people. You know, like Pete from Astus of Aries, you know, like he's doing this Aries thing out there, and, you know, that's not at all what I'm doing, but I really support what he's doing. And, you know, if more people were doing that, I think there would be a stronger community. But
I definitely agree with that. And I myself do not in any way, shape, or form consider myself a mystic. I mean, I don't trust my own personal intuition enough. I'm far too skeptical. But I appreciate what mystics bring to the community and what they do. I mean, even in ancient societies, they served a important purpose. They were not shunned as they were in modern day. I mean, they are immediately driven out of Reconstructionist groups, it seems like.
Yep.
I mean, that's what it seems like to me. And,
I think we need more people like you, you know, that are saying, even if I'm not this particular thing, I honor it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think if we had that we'd have a real polytheist community,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I need to pop in here, guys, because we have a couple more callers online.
Ooh, yay, more callers.
Oh, wow, excellent.
Connor, thank you. Where are you from, by the way? Because my tech person, my wonderful tech maven, Pamela, is from Wichita Falls. So she was like, ooh, somebody from my area code.
I am from, I was born in Fort Worth. I went to 5 high schools. I've been all over the state and all over the country. But right now I'm living in, Denton, Texas. I'm actually attending college as a theater arts teacher, studying to be one. So that's fine.
And
I'm
the URL of your blog, too, because you write awesome stuff.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to pop in here, and I'm going to bring on, I have someone calling in from a 201 number. And I see 2 more callers, and don't worry, I will get to you all. So right now I'm going to bring on this other person, just because I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to talk. Don't go away, Connor. Keep in the conversation. Person calling from a 201 area code, welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are. Hello.
201, we want to talk to you.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? This is weird.
Okay, well, then we have a Portia. I'm going to bring her online. She's been very, very patient. Portia,
hello,
welcome.
Portia.
Hi, you guys. This is Portia. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Awesomeness. This is Portia. Thank you. I sometimes write under the first dark at WordPress.com, and I just had a general question as I'm starting to kind of get back into it or trying to get back into it. I guess a little bit of why I haven't written on my own in a while. I feel sometimes like I wonder if there's a homogenization of paganism going on. You know,
yeah.
I feel like there might be a lessening of – I kind of feel like there's a lessening of feeling – more so than just, you know, which granted, yes, I've got a million books.
Portia, I think what's going on, I mean, we've talked about this amongst ourselves off the air, obviously. I think what's mm-hmm. going on is that there's a real push to cull from paganism all those things that might make them controversial or questionable to mainstream Christian religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree.
I think that there is a homogenization, an attempted homogenization going on, and I think it's something we need to fight with every ounce of our beings because that is not what our religions were about.
No,
so
and especially, you know, there's like this embarrassment of things that are noisy and weird and colorful and all that. And
yes,
we have to be okay with
making a mess. I feel a little beaten down by it, and I think that's why I haven't written in so long because I feel like
no, you should write. You should definitely write.
The
I love what
you write. Frowned upon.
Yeah. Your writing is a powerful form of resistance.
Okay.
You're drawing a line in the sand and saying, at least here, in the space that I occupy, in the space into which I bring my gods, this corruption of the filter, for lack of a better term, this moral cowardice, mm-hmm. It goes so far and no further.
Mm-hmm.
Your
I
writing is
fully.
Getting that line.
I agree fully. I appreciate your time so much because it just it's something that's bothered me for the last couple of months. It's kind of stunted my growth in a way, stunted my learning in a way, because I feel
yeah.
as if I do go out there, then I'm going to be beaten back down by, oh, you should be ashamed of feeling that way. And I just, I feel how I feel, basically.
Yeah,
so.
And like, I love the links and stuff that you post, but I really much more appreciate the stuff that you actually write yourself and that comes from the heart.
Absolutely.
And again, you're another great blogger.
And I
want
to get back to it. I want to get back to it, so I'm going to get
yes,
back
yes,
to
yes,
it.
Do
and
it,
I
do
appreciate
it.
Talking to you guys so much tonight, and keep on fighting the good fight, please.
We're not giving up. Our gods will not let us give up, and our ancestors
will
through.
No.
Our ancestors
no giving up.
So much more.
They'll hit us
Absolutely.
With a shoe.
Absolutely.
I think we have a Langston on the line. Langston, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Langston.
Hi, Langston. Langston's, I believe this is our Langston, part of House Sankofa. Welcome.
Yes, it is. It is
Hi,
your Langston. Yes. How are you doing? I'm enjoying
oh,
the show
God.
A lot. So, Danian, it's nice to finally hear your voice after reading your blog for a long time.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, I really love just the way you use the internet and blogging and YouTube and media and how you, like, I feel like in the pagan community so many people sort of fetishize the ancient and the pastoral and you just kind of, you know, mix it all up and help people, like, really look at contemporary culture with ancient eyes. And
yeah.
so I was interested if you had any, like, how do you do that? Like, what's your process? Like, how do you avoid the internet just being, like, a mind suck and
yeah.
a real tool to connect to your spirits and gods?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I try to be just, you know, open to what's there. And I think, like, that's the thing. Like, ancient pagans and stuff were open to what was going on in their environments and, you know, the connected to the land and the spirits in the city and, you know, the gods and all that. And, you know, that's what produced all that poetry and all that art and stuff that we admire. And I think we can do that today by just, again, being open to what the spirits and the gods and our culture are saying and stuff. But, you know, also being discerning about what, you know, feeds our minds and all that. And so, yeah. I don't know. Like, I just try to, you know, it's fed by what I experience and the practice and, you know, all the hours of stuff that I put in and going out and making offerings and doing the rituals and all that. And then, like, I have these experiences and then I try to, like, look at all the art that's out there in the media and stuff, and we're constantly bombarded by this, and, you know, most of it is crap, and so, you know, I just kind of let that go and wash over me without, you know, actually affecting where my mind is. And then the stuff that really resonates and is, like, reminds me of, you know, oh, hey, you know, I was out in the park and I had this experience and, you know, this is what the spirit sort of felt like. And that I put out, you know, and I share this video, and maybe that'll touch people and, you know, encourage them to go out and
do
their own stuff. Yeah,
we have the real Sarence from Michigan on the line, also another member of House Sankofa. This is like old home week here. This like Langston, you haven't met Sarence. Sarence, you haven't met Langston, but and nor, none of you have met Sanyan, but hey, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Sarence.
Hey.
Hi,
Sarence,
hi.
I love your blog.
Thank you.
Did you have a question for us, Sarah?
I just wanted to express my appreciation for you guys bringing up the Christo-paganism. It's something I'm running into with my own ancestor work pretty hard right now. The idea that somehow you can't honor, you know, for instance, in my case, the Catholic ancestors are like, look, we'd really like you to go to church. I'm like, doesn't work so well. But here's
yeah.
what I'll do for you, you know. So
uh-huh.
I really appreciate that there's somebody out there in the pagan community saying it doesn't have to be an all-or-nothing game here because we can honor both sides of our family lines.
Yeah, and that's the thing that really gets me about the dialogue, is it tends to be framed in this very sort of Protestant mindset where, you know, like Jesus is the constant focus, and, you know, like so much about Catholicism is about like the saints and Mary and all this stuff, and that never seems to come into the equation. It's all about, you know, Yahweh and his son and blah, 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 Christianity is so bad, and, you know, like, a lot of people are really attached to that, and especially once they become dead people, you know, and they might want us to honor them in that way, and that was familiar to them, and that was part of their environment. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
Sam is going to pop on. I think she wants to join in the conversation, which I absolutely welcome. So you might be hearing from her in just a couple of minutes.
I just want to say, like, I thought it was really cool that you mentioned that, Sarah, because, like, I saw your comment, and, you know, I think that's something that more people need to hear from, because that perspective isn't at all being addressed. So I personally would like to see you write more about that.
Well, thank you for your post. You've inspired me to write one, so I'm in the middle of putting one together.
Yay. Oh, excellent. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, you're doing good work.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask about how your veneration of Catholic saints is going, and who in specific is your main squeeze there?
It's a weird. Again, like, every time I mention the spirits, it's always weird because it isn't at all conventional. Like, you know, I don't ever go into a church, and, you know, I don't say specific prayers and stuff. And, you know, sometimes I make offerings, like I'll go to the river to honor John the Baptist because, you know, he made, you know, baptisms and stuff. But, you know, and like I'll make traditional offerings that you would make for a Greek hero, but I don't know if that's specifically what he wants. But, you know, it seems to be because I get results, and like I'm constantly bombarded by these images and these messages from them that seem to, you know, suggest that, yeah, this is actually something that they want. And again, it's not at all anything conventional, and it's kind of weird and all that. But I don't know, it seems to work for me, so I'm sticking with it. And but, you know, yeah, it's definitely not any kind of conventional Christian thing, like not going to church, I'm not, you know, abstaining from sex or whatnot. So, yeah.
I also want to pop in here because I find that for mixed houses where one person may be pagan and one person may be Christian, if you're trying to find a point of unity in your home, ancestor veneration is that point, and saints are dead people. They're ancestors. Mm-hmm. So a mixed house can come together. It's like, well, I honor my ancestors and I honor these gods. You honor your saints. Well, there's kind of like elevated ancestors. So,
yeah, and for me, that's the thing that really is exciting because, like, you know, like in a lot of, you know, Hellenic polytheism, there's this question about how were the heroes honored? Because we don't have a whole lot of literature about that. But you look, and it's very similar to what is done in traditional, you know, Catholicism, not necessarily the mainstream stuff that's spouted from the Vatican, but, you know, when you look at what actual people in, you know, Italy, Germany, and, you know, further abroad are doing, it's the same kind of hero worship. It's, you know, a dead person has power and they're, you know, making things happen in this world. And so you honor them and you respect them. And, you know, so I think that's a clue as to how we can make this more vital polytheism is by, you know, actually, again, honoring the ancestors and that connection we have to the past. And
some of those ancestors, I mean, some of them have a debt to us. Some of them contributed to the destruction of our ancestral ways. And if they're willing to step forward and work to make things better, well, then that's good and graspable and sacred work. And by engaging with them, you're furthering that process and their own elevation. We have about 5 minutes left, so we're going to stop taking outside calls. And sorry, guys, but Thomas will have Tanya back. Sam, did you want to pop on and add anything to the conversation?
Yeah, I just thank you so much, Galena, for letting me pop on, because I've been chomping at the bit the entire time we're talking about Christopaganism. And that's the way that paganism survived. It never went away. Christopaganism You talked about the Bible specifically. Galatians, Paul talks about worshiping the pagan god. You know, it's in the Bible, and you can't separate the two, because there's still a lot of pagan ways that are followed by so-called Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that are still part of the Celtic ways of the British Isles, the traditions that they follow, they came from those pagan roots. So when you know, neo-pagans say that you cannot be Christians or a Christo-pagan, then they're being no better than the people who they say that they're not trying to be like. You know, that's a Christian thing to say that you can only have the one God. It's not a pagan thing. So pagans
yes.
don't need
every
to be
word you just said is
God.
Awesome.
Thank you. Okay, I'll be quiet now, though. I'll be the radio mime again. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, Pam, thank you. And this is Pamela. She is our tech person extraordinaire, and we would not be having this show without her. So kudos.
Yay, Pamela.
Oh, thank you for all you do.
Sorry for all the mix-up tonight. Now I'm going to be quiet.
No, don't be quiet. Say more. That was awesome. Keep talking.
Well, we only have five minutes or so to go. So I wanted to say to you, what final words do you have for us, Simon? I mean, somebody comes to you, I want to honor Dionysus, or how do I do what you do? What would you
call? Well, first of all, you're not going to do what I do, because I'm freaking awesome. So do what you do, and you'll be freaking awesome, you know, whatever that is. And that's going to be totally different from what I do, so just do what you do, you know. Don't concern yourself with what anybody else does. That's my message.
That's huge. That's huge, and I hope that people are listening to that, because the gods have a Sanyan, the gods have a Galena, the gods have a Lara. They don't have you.
Yes, exactly.
But they will.
They will have you in the end.
It's true. You can't escape them.
You just have to hope they use a lot of lube.
Ashtay. On that note, Shannon, thank you. And Laura, thank you again.
Thanks.
I'm going to close. We have a little, don't go away though, listeners, because we have a little informational tidbit about Astara and about a heathen man who laid down his life rather than refused to stop honoring his gods.
Awesome.
So we're going to close with this. Yeah. Olvir of
A. Keep listening.
And this is something that Weird Daughter, one of our previous guests, sent me today, asking that perhaps I could share with you all, because this man should be honored. So, Sanyan, thank you. Laura, thank you. Happy Astara to all of our listeners. And I'm going to turn this over to Pam, who is going to play that little tidbit. And if everyone has nothing else to say, I'm going to bid you all good night.
Hi folks, this is Weird Daughter here, bringing you a little bit of a history lesson from our pagan past. Around this time of year, in the 11th century, there was a pagan man by the name of Olvir of Egg, who was killed and martyred for his continuing beliefs by the Christian king Olaf II. Where can you find a story? You can dig it up in the Saga of the Norse Kings. What was the nature of his story? Well, I'll be happy to tell you that. Olvir lived in the Trondheim Fjord area of Norway, and it came to the king's attention that at the time of winter nights, that indeed pagan practices were continuing in this area. The king summons the men to him, among them Olvir, and gives them a stern warning. The men manage to sidestep the issue, playing it off that it's not quite as what the king thinks has happened, even though it really is. But then at Yule, it comes to the king's attention again that indeed these pagan practices have continued. Angered, he summons again the men to come before him. And the men are hesitant. They were lucky to get away once. Really don't want to see him again. But Olvir ends up going. The king admonishes them severely, and even though Olvir tries to play it off as just a grand party, the king warns him he will get to the bottom of it and find the truth. Well, around the time of the Christian observance of Easter in King Olaf's court, again, it comes to the king's attention that a man loyal to him, called Thoraldi, gives damning evidence that indeed Ulver and the other men of the area have been continuing their pagan practices and have no signs of stopping. In this particular year, it falls to Ulver to make ready the feast, and he is preparing for the pagan High Holy Tide that we believe is Astara. It may have been called something different in this particular area. When the king summons a contingent of more than 300 men, they set sail, they reach the fjord. By nightfall, the troops have surrounded the homes and ensnared the local pagans in the dark of night. Ulver and some of his men are captured and killed immediately. Other homes are ransacked as the king tries to find others he feels are guilty. Some manage to successfully flee, but others are still caught. Their property is confiscated in penalty. The prisoners are then held awaiting a thing, which is a large gathering of the people where much business as well as legal judgments and sentences occurred. These other prisoners represented members of powerful families, and they were essentially being held hostage to force their families to capitulate and convert. Here was the death rattle of religion in this area, propelled in part by King Olaf's Christian agenda. Even though, if you read the history, there's still some more rattles going on. The pagans did not pass quietly into that good night. But at this time of year, I like to raise a horn to Ulver. He died for his beliefs, and here we are, over 1,000 years later, and yet the gods are still being hailed. They are still being called. He is an ancestor of our tradition, and it is precious when we know any of their names. Hail Ulver, this Ostara.
You are listening to Galina Kraskova, author of such titles as Exploring the Northern Tradition, Northern Tradition for the Solitary Practitioner, and Runes, Theory and Practice, which explores various aspects of Northern Tradition beliefs, devotion, and divination. Be sure to also check out Galina's blog, Gangleri's Grove, at kraskova.weebly.com. You can find these titles and many more from her publisher, New Page Books. Visit their website at www.newpagebooks.com. Expect something different.
Thank you for joining us on WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. You can hear us every night right here on Blog Talk Radio, or download us later on iTunes. Please check our schedule for accurate show times. For all questions, comments, or show suggestions, you can email us at pagans tonight@gmail.com. And let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on LiveJournal. We invite you to tune in again tomorrow night. Good night, and blessed be.